This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Who else is going to help clean up the oil?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Oil keeps leaking from that BP well in the Gulf of Mexico, a mile below the surface. Today, officials from the petroleum company, the U.S. Coast Guard, and the federal government are trying to stop the oil from gushing freely into the Gulf. Meanwhile, people affected by the environmental disaster, those who live and make a living along the Gulf Coast, are training to help in the cleanup. Reporter Kate Archer Kent is with us from Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
What are they being trained for?
They're being trained in a basic safety training. It's mainly geared toward volunteers who are picking up litter on the beaches.
And this is akin to sort of like sweeping before mopping the kitchen floor, right?
Yeah, they want to make sure that when this oil does wash ashore, it doesn't create more hazardous material out of the trash that's currently on the beaches. And that's why they put these volunteers to work in a pre-cleanup on these beaches.
And how many people are we talking about, Kate?
Well, BP told me Gulf-wide they have 1,000 people trained so far and that they're not turning anyone away. Here in Hancock County, Mississippi, they had about 80 people show up yesterday, and this training will go on all week.
Does anyone know where this slick is going to wind up?
No. BP is watching the weather just like everyone is, trying to figure out where it will wash ashore. They just don't know. But they want to have people trained and in place wherever it does wash ashore.
Reporter Kate Archer Kent is with us from Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Kate, thanks.
You're welcome.
The Senate starts getting into specifics of financial reform legislation today. One item up for grabs is a proposed bank tax to help pay for the bailout. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner will be on Capitol Hill this morning, lobbying for that for the administration. The public's still angry at taxpayer-financed bailouts. And as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, bank tax supporters are feeling the wind at their backs.
The White House proposal would hit up big banks for $90 billion over the next 10 years. That's just a little less than the projected taxpayer losses from the Troubled Asset Relief Program.
The bank tax is going to have a lot of populist appeal and is going to be hard to defeat.
Public Citizen's Robert Weissman says public outrage should overcome heavy bank lobbying against the tax.
They want to recover some of the money from the beneficiaries, especially as they see these same beneficiaries taking out billions of dollars in profits and bonus compensation.
But banks say they're already reimbursing taxpayers. Phil West is a tax partner at Steptoe & Johnson.
The main incidence of the tax falls on institutions that didn't create any of the TARP losses.
The real scofflaws, he says, are GM, Chrysler, and AIG. But supporters of the bank tax are even considering making it permanent to raise enough money to avoid future bailouts. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Well, European shares are lower by more than 1% at the moment. Asian shares dipped today as well. Worries about China's housing market keeping investors tepid there. Some nice gains, though, yesterday on Wall Street. The Dow added 143 points to close at 11,151.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
A new law in Washington, D.C. requires food and grocery shoppers to pay for their bags. It's the only major city in the country with a mandatory fee. The city says bag use is down dramatically because of it. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
In Washington, it's no longer paper or plastic. It's, do you want to pay for a bag? Food stores have to charge 5 cents for any bag. The money goes toward fishing plastic bags from Washington's clogged Anacostia River. Washington lawyer Ken Jacob never pays for a bag, even if that means a delicate balancing act.
I haven't done it myself, although it's only a matter of time, but I've seen people drop their sodas and in opening doors and stuff like that.
I've done some balancing myself. I like to buy a cup of soup to bring back to the office. I never, ever pay for a bag. Part of it is I'm cheap, but I also want to do my bit for the environment. Whatever the reason, shoppers at food stores here only used about 3 million bags in January. That's down from about 22 million a year ago. Marcia Levi is co-owner of Chocolate Moose, a Washington gift shop.
I would say 80% of my customers are now declining to purchase a bag for 5 cents.
At first, Levi didn't think the bag law applied to her. She only sells chocolate on the side. A lot of other merchants were confused. Pleasure Place sells edible body frosting. Did it have to charge the 5 cent bag fee? Yep. D.C. Councilmember Tommy Wells says expanding the law could clear up confusion.
To go ahead and just say it covers everybody that uses disposable bags, that may be the solution.
So all Washington stores would charge 5 cents a bag, no matter what they sold.
Do you need a bag?
No, actually, I have a bag. Thank you.
Back at Chocolate Moose, Nancy Wilkinson is buying some cards. She brought her own reusable bag, but she says that bag won't always do.
If you're buying a dress at Talbot's or something, I mean, with the chance of you having an appropriate bag to bring it home for something you paid $150 for is probably not reasonable.
But paying to bag that dress might become reality, and not just in Washington. The Maryland legislature has considered its own 5 cent bag tax. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, the airlines have made a science out of charging for bits and pieces of your trip. A fee for checked bags, pillows and blankets perhaps. Now a new study says some hotels will likely collect more fees and surcharges this year as well, for obvious things like internet access and room service, and for new things too. A fee to restock the mini bar after you paid for the first item, and even a fee for early checkout. But wait, aren't guests doing hotels a favor by leaving early? Hey, share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. It's free. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.